Well, Matt, first of all, thanks for joining us here on the Podium Finish again. It has been a while, but I know you would have liked to have made this year's playoffs. But since Jonathan Hassler has taken over as your crew chief, you've been knocking on the door as a solid top 10, top 15 performer. What has he brought to the table that you feel has made you a better race car driver?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the head coach for an NFL team. You know, that's the way that I relate it to, is you know, there's no disrespect to one guy or another. Everything's a relationship, and it's all got to work. And, yeah, Hassler came in, it just changed the dynamic of the team. He had a different approach to it all, and he's been an excellent leader for the team, and very kind of cut and dry, straightforward approach to the races. And, man, it's really been a blessing to our team, and our performance has shown. We had six races in a row where our worst finish was 11th, and we've been, knocking on the door and hoping that win will come. So we've been very thankful for him.
And I would imagine that, you know, the win being one of your motivating factors as you close out your tenure at the Wood Brothers, if you were to win, you would deliver the 100th win for the Wood Brothers. So to follow up with that, how significant would that moment be if you were to get that 100th win and your debut win in the Cup Series?
Yeah, man, I want it so bad to get the 100th win for the Wood Brothers. And honestly, of course, selfishly, well, want it for yourself, but more than anything, I want it for the team, the Wood Brothers family, because they are family to us and always will be for life. And you get so invested in the team and the family that I really want to bring that 100th win to them and the entire team, especially for all the hard work, dedication they've put in. So it would be so incredibly meaningful for the whole family.
And I definitely peg you for one of these races coming up to win. You know, Richmond, of course, is one of those hometown races for the Wood Brothers, as well as Martinsville. And certainly when it comes to Talladega, it would be foolish to dismiss you as a contender. So I definitely think you will be a story to watch down the stretch. And another reason why you're a great story is because, you know, as someone who's endured so many ups and downs in NASCAR, you've always been so candid, but yet so optimistic and real. How has your newfound faith helped keep you optimistic and motivated to deliver the best results on the track, but also, you know, just be as, you know, open, like, as optimistic as possible?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that are out of my control, but all I can do is focus on what's in my control, and that's, you know, focusing on the positives that, like you said, since Jonathan Hassler's taken over our team, we've been rocking and rolling, running really good, running up front on a pretty much a weekly basis, and focusing on trying to get that win. So really, I just focus on what's in my control and the positives, and that's, you know, that's my main focus, is trying to get that win for the team and bringing good energy to the race team to close out the season with a lot of success. And then, you know, we'll figure out what's to come for next year. I don't know yet, but, you know, God has a plan, and it's going to work out how it's supposed to, and I'm just going to keep working as hard as I can day in and day out on all of it.
Things happen for a reason, as cliche as it is, but I'm sure that whatever comes, it'll be the best opportunity for you personally and professionally. And that was going to be one of my questions, but you beat me to the punch on that. But I appreciate you updating the fans on that for sure. I'm going to change track a little bit here, given that, you know, today is 9/11, the 20th anniversary of that day. And I think you were about 10 years old when it happened in 2001. Tell me what you recall about that day in terms of where you were, what was on your mind, and how do you and your family get through those days after 9/11?
Yeah, so I remember that day very, very clearly. I was 10. I don't remember a lot of specifics from my childhood, but that day, 100%. I remember I was going to get ready to go to school, and we lived out in Northern California at the time, and got up and I saw on the TV, and my parents had informed me and what was going on, and just a sense of feeling that sense of everyone being scared for something that tragic happening in our country was a vivid memory and completely awful. But there's a couple other memories that go along with this, and this is a passionate topic of mine because my brother is in the military and, you know, enlisted not long after that, actually, it was shortly after, and he's close to retirement now, but he, from the Air Force, but, you know, we're a very patriotic family, and the one thing that sticks out as a very, fond memory of following that is obviously it was awful and sad, and so many people, children and families that lost loved ones. But following it, the sense of unity that everybody had, and the patriotism and the pro-military, pro-foundational values of our country, pro-Second Amendment, all these things that followed with that, that unity and that patriotism and everyone being proud to be an American and all those things, proud of our founding fathers and all the values of our country being one nation under God, all the list goes on and on. It was incredible, the sense of unity that we all had. And I remember one of the baseball players was running around the field at a MLB game, carrying a flag, American flag, running around the stadium, and everybody, regardless of politics or anything, was just on the same page. I posted the hashtag never forget, never be talking about that, and after I posted that, honestly, I was like, it almost bothered me, because I want to rephrase it a little bit, because there are a lot of people that have forgotten in today's times. You can see it, we can feel it, we're being divided, and that stuff is very sad to see. So it's a very passionate topic, so I think tonight is going to hit very close to home. The national anthem is going to have an amazing feeling behind it, and it's going to be a very special night to race for bigger reasons than just driving in circles and honoring that day and honoring those who lost their lives.
No, for sure. And thank you to your brother for serving our country. And that's really selfless of him to do that and to allow people like us to do what we do, whether you're a race car driver like yourself or someone like me who covers the sport for a living. So thank you to your brother for what he does. And you're right about that. And I hope it does become a thing that renews after this day. We can always disagree on things healthily, but we all have to remember that we're all in this together. So unity is definitely one thing I hope we get from today for sure. Now, we've also talked about this to change topics. We talked about this in the past, but you were probably the most fit race car driver in the world. And you could probably destroy a lot of the drivers physically in a fight. I hope not, but how have you emphasized your prime physical fitness with proper hydration and dealing with the brunt of these late summer grueling races?
Well, I'm a gentle giant, so not that I'm a giant either, but I do love fitness. I just have a passion for it, and I really enjoy it. My favorite part of the day is going and working, getting a good workout, putting myself through a mental test, and it's just a great way to disconnect from the world. So I love it for that aspect, and then also how it pertains to my job, obviously. It's really helped me to hone in and be the best I can be and feel the best I can be in the race car, because the better you feel the later in the race throughout all the heat and exhaustion that you go through, people don't understand how physical it is in that race car. So when I do a race, it's actually triple the amount of basically strain on my body and way more than that as far as calories burned than any workout that I do. So it's the hardest physical thing that you do, and staying hydrated, and your heart rate is a consistent 170, 180 beats a minute, for hours. So it's incredibly taxing on you. But yeah, my fitness, hydration, all mental toughness, all these things have really helped to where I hone in and I'm prepared for what my body's going to go through, so I can feel, hopefully better than others when it comes down to the end of the race.
And I think that pays dividends for sure. I mean, it's no coincidence that not just with the crew chief change, these late summer races, you've been up there with the playoff drivers and those who have been consistent all year long. So I don't think it's any coincidence that being in great shape has paid off dividends as a contender in the Cup Series. And one thing I really love that you're going to be doing next weekend is you're going to be driving a very special paint scheme that is going to raise awareness for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So I read your post, which I thought was really nice and personal about, how it relates to you and your family. But what does it mean for you to drive this car and be able to reach out to so many people to work in eliminating the stigma around mental health?
Yes, it's a really, really, really passionate topic. So so many people have loved ones and people close to them who have taken their own lives or battled mental health. Everyone goes through struggles. So you know, the one thing that I hope, there's many things I hope come out of this, but I try and be very vulnerable about my story, about my faith journey, about, you know, my faith saving, God saving my life. And not only that, but I just try and be vulnerable about everything because I hope to show others that being vulnerable is okay and it takes strength to be vulnerable and it's a good thing because every single human being on the planet battles mental health in some way, shape, or form because we are broken individuals and we live in a broken world. You know, we live in a world where evil does exist, and it's not our true home. It really is not. But it doesn't make this life on earth easy, and everyone battles, different things, and being vulnerable about it is okay, and I hope to help raise awareness for that, because, mental health and the battles that people go through and suicide and those things are so incredibly overlooked, and I think people are, you know, becoming more vulnerable to it, but you also see so many people that try and hold it in, and pretend like their life is okay, and it's, you know, we all battle things. We all go through things. So I really am proud to be a part of that cause. It's an honor, and I've had people close to me who have, I mean, my wife's aunt took her own life. I have people close to me. One of my great friends, Scott, his father took his own life, and nobody really knows this. And I'll talk about it openly a bit next week, but my father went through some major, you know, health issues and had to have surgery, and he was in pain constantly, and he was talking openly about suicide, and this was just this year, and I had to go over and talk with him and try and keep him, you know, okay to endure what he was going through. So it affects more people than, you know, I think folks know, and I hope to raise a lot of awareness that it's okay to reach out, and I'm glad to promote that cause in the National Suicide Lifeline, Suicide Prevention Lifeline that folks can call and tell people it's okay to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. And it's okay not to be okay. And you're a good son to be there for your father during those difficult times, and certainly hope everything gets better for you and your family with that. I can't even imagine what that's like. So that's really good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're all going to pull for you guys on that for sure. I know you got to get going soon, but just one last question I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
What is a quality or trait that you have appreciated and you're going to take away from driving for the Wood Brothers these last 2 years, whether, you know, on or off the racetrack?
That's a great question, and it's all off-track related, and I say this all the time, is that my favorite part about driving for the Wood Brothers is that they make you want to be a better human being in life in general. They're incredible role models in that sense, and when you drive for them, you become family for life. And I always say I don't have friends, I have family. And so I appreciate just having them in my life so much forever. And that this journey is not just for now. I've gained them as family forever for the rest of my life. And the way that they treat people and the character that they have is my favorite part about driving for the Wood Brothers.
Well, and I'm sure they feel the same way about you and what you've contributed these last 2 years. That's such a great story. And I'm sure, not just as a journalist that I say this, your journey's not over. I don't know what it is either, but I'm sure that you'll be in racing for many years to come because good guys don't always have to finish last. They can always finish first, too. So definitely wanted you to know that for sure from covering you these last 4 years.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. And, yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for the time, man.